Thank you, Kat. Now, this week we're investigating alternatives to fossil fuels. Biofuel production is on the increase, with very much research focusing on new carbon-neutral ways to produce things like diesel. You may have noticed in many places also biobuses, these run not surprisingly on biofuels, are springing up on the streets. There are quite a few of them here in Cambridge. And earlier this week, Emma Stoy took a ride on one of them, along with three scientists from Cambridge University who are helping to develop ways to use algae to make diesel.
I'm riding on one of Cambridge's biobuses, so named because they run on 100% biodiesel. Now, at the moment, this comes from recycled cooking oil, but in the not-so-distant future, biodiesel could come from quite a different source, algae. Joining me on board are three researchers from the Department of Plant Sciences at Cambridge University, Elena Kazamia, Jiten Chen and Dr. Nick Ross. They all work with algae and they're here to tell me about its potential as a fuel source.
Well, we're definitely running out of fossil fuels, and even if we're not running out anytime soon, we're definitely running out of cheap fuel. So the necessity for biofuels is increasing. Algae are a very general group of organisms, pretty much anything that lives in water and photosynthesizes. They can be single-celled or giant kelp, for example, the big seaweed, that's also technically algae. There are many reasons why we prefer to grow algae on a large scale for biodiesel production over any conventional land plant. Algae do not grow on arable land, so you're not competing with food production.
So how do you get from an algae photosynthesizing sort of diesel that you could put into a car or into a bus?
Some algae, like ourselves, store energy in the form of lipid. Some algal species can have up to 70% of their mass in oil. And so all you need to do really is then break that cell open and release the fuel molecules. You can do that either using solvents on an industrial scale, or one of the things we're investigating in our laboratory is the use of enzymes to break some of the cell wall components, which then makes the extraction of the oil a lot easier.
And Jiten, once you've extracted these oils from the algae, how do you then convert them into actual diesel?
So the molecule that we're actually extracting from algae are known as triacyl glycerols, and you can't actually put these molecules into an engine. They are not very friendly for internal combustion. So what you have to do is to use a process known as transesterification. And what transesterification does is it converts triacyl glycerol into molecules known as fatty acid methyl esters. And these molecules are structurally very similar to the diesel that you get from petroleum, and therefore they can be used in current engines with little or no modification.
Nick, is it possible to scale this up so that you can produce diesel on a much more industrial scale, the scale on which it's demanded at the moment?
Algae are already grown on industrial scale to make different types of products. In Australia, for example, they grow algae in giant ponds to get various types of antioxidants. So you could do a similar thing growing algae in large ponds, and so you could really scale up. And the size that you'd want to scale up to is enormous. It would be something like 10,000 hectares as a starting size of algal ponds.
So what's standing in the way now?
So the problem right now is that it's just too expensive to make diesel from algae. And that's just because the costs are really quite large, building massive ponds, the costs of extraction. So even though it's a really attractive way to get energy, at the moment it costs about twice as much to make it as you could sell it for. And then the efficiency of the process is something like 2%. So we're looking at ways in which we could actually improve that. We're looking at ways to genetically engineer the algae to make them more efficient at the way that they capture light and then can convert that into ultimately the types of fuel molecules that we want.
And I understand that's something you're looking at, Jiten. You're actually studying the different genetic pathways algae use to produce oils, and more importantly, the right kinds of oils.
Yes, the idea is that although algae do produce oils, the oils that they produce may not be necessarily the ones that we would like to put into our engines. One of the biggest problems of biofuels is that certain types of biofuels tend to freeze under low temperatures. And therefore, you know, you have to do something. You either put some sort of chemical in the fuel to make them have a lower freezing temperature, or you genetically engineer the algae so that they produce oil that is more liquid under low temperatures. And there are various other things, you know, how much and how strongly these fuels burn are dependent on the characteristics of the fuel molecules, and all that can be manipulated genetically.
How would you then genetically manipulate the algae to produce large quantities of those kinds of oils?
The first step is to shut down or reduce the amount of what we call secondary pathways or side chain pathways, the alternative pathways that would take away molecules that we want to convert into biofuel and change them to something else. And you can do that in two ways. You can either improve the genes that are in the pathway you want, or you remove the genes that are in the pathways that you don't want. But obviously, we have to be really careful because these are living organisms. If you tinker too much with the internal genetics of the organism, it may die or it may start to produce something that you don't want.
Eleanor, how long do you think it will take until a bus like this is run on algae biodiesel?
I think it depends how optimistic you are. The optimists say we are ready to scale up. The pessimists say it will never happen. Another fundamental thing that stands in the way of production on a large scale is that we simply can't replicate what we're doing in the lab outdoors. We simply don't know how the algae, as living organisms, interact with their environment. So even though we have these amazing strains that we're developing in the lab that are genetically modified, can have very good lipid production, have fantastic efficiencies, if they then get eaten by something, or if your ponds get populated by some other competing organism that contaminates it and you have to shut down your production system, that's also a very bad thing. The technology is not quite ready. The research is ongoing, but there's definitely a lot of will within the scientific community. And so I think, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, but I think somewhere around 10 years perhaps.
Eleanor Kazamir from Cambridge University, ending that report by our Naked Scientist reporter, Emma Stoy.